From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, a new era of religious persecution has arrived. We spoke briefly about this earlier in the week. With less than 2 weeks until Christmas, China is cracking down on Christians. How significant is the problem? We'll talk about that, as well as religious freedom problems in Pakistan have led the State Department to designate the country as a country of particular concern, along with nine other nations. Secretary Mike Pompeo announcing that this week. And this should come as no surprise. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Boy Scouts of America is considering filing for bankruptcy. Now, I believe this could very well be a case study of what happens to an iconic institution that compromises its core values. Robert Swartzwalder of Regent University will be here to discuss. And then we'll talk with Mark Hancock, CEO of Trail Life USA, which is a thriving, growing alternative organization that has taken the place of the Boy Scouts. And yes, Virginia, there is a war on Christmas. Fox News commentator and radio host Todd Starnes will be here to discuss these renewed battle lines that we're seeing over Christmas this year. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you'd like to find out more. And just as a reminder, the program, it's all archived right there on TonyPerkins.com. Also, we've got folks standing by again today. If you would like to make a year-end gift to the Family Research Council, we have some generous donors that have put forth a challenge match that will double everything that you give to the Family Research Council between now and the end of the year. So if you'd like to call in and talk with one of our folks, 800-225-4008, the number to call to partner with Family Research Council to make sure that Washington Watch continues all across the nation. Okay, as Christians worldwide celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ that took place 2,000 years ago, there are new Christians and others being persecuted for their faith in China, and we must not forget them. One example, Zion Church in Beijing is the largest in China's growing Protestant underground. In September, the 11-year-old house church was sealed shut by the government. And this earlier this week, we saw the where the government rounded up about 100 leaders from one church. With us now is Gordon Chang, Asian expert and author of The Coming Collapse of China and a frequent guest here on Washington Watch. Gordon, Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Tony, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Let's talk about what's happening in China. I also want to get your thoughts on the trade dispute going on. But first, what's driving this crackdown, renewed crackdown? I mean, they've been hostile, but it seems like a new level of hostility, if I'm not misreading it.
Well, first of all, there's the essential nature of the Communist Party. But that's also been intensified by Xi Jinping, the current ruler. There has been, across China, an attack on all religions. If you go back maybe a couple months ago, people were talking about the detention of more than a million Uyghurs who are Muslims in the northwestern part of the country. And just they were thinking this was against Islam. But no, you know, we have seen, as you just pointed out, an intensified attack on Christianity as well. And I think that we are going to see the same measures that have been applied against the Uyghurs applied against all religions. They will go as far as they can until world public opinion stops them. And that's why it's so important to talk about these issues.
Now, I had Ambassador Brownback on recently and Congressman Chris Smith, who I was with actually up on the Hill just a few minutes ago. The Uyghurs, explain to our listeners what's happening with the Uyghur Muslims, where they're in concentration camps, apparently, reportedly, a million that are being held in these re-education camps.
Some actually say more than a million, but clearly that's a substantial portion of the population of what the Chinese call their Xinjiang Autonomous Region and what the Uyghurs are now starting to call the East Turkestan Republic. But they are held in what the Chinese call vocational training facilities, but which resemble concentration camps. And these are the important thing here is that Uyghurs are actually dying in these camps in not small numbers. Now, there's no attempt to mass exterminate them, so this is different from the Third Reich. But what we are seeing, though, are many of the same types of techniques used against the Uyghurs that the Germans used against the Jews. This is now starting to spread, Tony, because the Chinese authorities are beginning to apply these same tactics against Muslims in the middle part of the country. And, you know, as we've seen, there's been this attack against Christians. September was the month that the Vatican came to an agreement with Beijing on the appointment of bishops, and that was the month, you just said, that the Zion Church was closed. So clearly there is no freedom for Christians in China.
Gordon Cheng, they're now moving toward what they call their social credit score system, in which this all the various engagement, whether what they would look at online, what they read, they're building this social credit score, which will have an impact upon where they can live, what jobs they can have. Explain to our listeners what the government there is doing with this social credit score.
Yeah, the social credit score will take into account all facets of a person's life and reduce them to a number. So, for instance, if someone jaywalks, that's going to be a deduction of points. If someone goes to a Xi Jinping movie, that's probably going to increase the score. But clearly being a Christian or a Uyghur or someone of faith, any faith, is going to result in a reduction of score. There are now social credit systems that are being implemented among municipalities. But by the end of 2020, maybe 2021, as they're now talking about, this will be a national score. It'll be a national system. And people with low scores will not be able to get jobs. They won't be able to get to fly. Indeed, right now, social credit scores are being used to take dissident journalists and making sure that their kids can't go to school, that they can't fly on airplanes. So this is an attempt of totalitarian control. We often talk about China as authoritarian. Yes, it was authoritarian maybe 10 years ago, but under Xi Jinping, it's moving fast to totalitarianism, what it was in the first years of the People's Republic under Mao Zedong.
So, Gordon, what are we to make of this? Is how should the United States be posturing here? We're in this kind of trade dispute. It's affecting our stock market here in the country. Who's going to blink first? And what is the connection to this in terms of, could this be a leverage point where religious freedom and greater tolerance for human rights should be demanded of China by the United States?
Yeah. China is challenging the U.S. across the board, whether it's a question of trade, whether theft of U.S. intellectual property, or what we're seeing right now is an attack on Christians. And some Americans, by the way, have been detained in China for helping Christian communities. And so we've got to respond to all of them. And we've got to remember that the Chinese regime, even though those guys wear suits and ties, they are thugs. They are outside the community of civilized society. And we've got to treat them as such. I think we basically got to shun them, because what they are doing, not only to people of faith, but to all Chinese. And indeed, we've got to remember that Xi Jinping is dropping hints that that China is the world's only legitimate state. So at least in his mind, he thinks of us as subjects to China. And we can know what will happen to Christianity if he were ever able to implement his ambitions.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Gordon Cheng, Asian expert and author of The Coming Collapse of China, my guest in this first segment. Is President Trump posturing from your perspective, is his posture the most in such a way that it's most likely to bring out a positive outcome with China?
Well, I think President Trump on trade, for instance, is doing absolutely the right thing. His tariffs under Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 are meant to be a remedy for China's theft of U.S. intellectual property. And clearly, this is something which is existential to the American economy. Also, President Trump has opposed China on a number of other things that it's doing. So I think that he is starting to understand the essential nature of China's attack on American society. There's a lot more that the president needs to do. There's a lot more that all of us need to do. But at least we're moving in the right direction. And I think most Americans, and you can see this across the political spectrum in this country, are starting to understand that we've got to have a much more resolute posture with regard to China, because China is emboldened and it's doing things which are destructive of good order and international peace. And certainly they're challenging and undermining our democracy.
So what are some of those things? Let's start with what we can do. What can we do as it pertains to China because of the influence that they're having, not only in China, but literally globally? I mean, they're moving out into other parts of the world to take their influence.
Well, there's so many things that we have to do across the board. But the one thing that is important for people of faith is what you're doing, Tony, which is talking about these issues, getting them before the American public so that we can then start to raise these in our relations with China and make human rights and make the rights of Christians a fundamental core policy of the United States. We need a human rights diplomacy, which this country has not had since the end of the Cold War. And we've got to understand that the nature of regimes matters, as Ronald Reagan said. And part of this, we can see the essential nature of the Chinese regime in their attack on Christians and people of faith in China, whether it be Buddhism, Christianity, or Islam.
Where do you see the trade dispute going? I mean, the economy of China is not all that vibrant. I mean, I actually think they may be more vulnerable and have to blink first as it compared to America. I mean, I think we're actually in a stronger position right now. What are
your
thoughts?
We're in a far stronger position, Tony, when you look at all of the objective metrics like size of the economy, trade deficit, all the rest of it. The only thing that is subject to question is political will. The Chinese believe that they have it, and they believe that we don't have it. And that is the most important factor. What we have in President Trump is someone who so far has been able to exercise that political will. So this is going to be a contest to see who blinks. And by the way, if this were just a matter of objective criteria, the Chinese would have surrendered a long time ago. But Xi Jinping is a tough guy, and he has a lot of internal political reasons inside China to see this to the end. And so we need to have a President Trump with the same amount of political will, because if Trump has the same amount of political will, we will be able to prevail. And that's going to be good not just for us, but for everybody else, because China's predatory trade practices and its theft of intellectual property affects not just Americans, but other countries as well.
Gordon, almost out of time, but very quickly, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo putting Pakistan on the country of particular concern list for religious freedom and other abuses. Your thoughts on that?
It's about time. You know, we have let Pakistan slide for far too long, and it's good that the Trump administration is taking a much more realistic posture towards Pakistan, telling it like it is, and working more closely with India, which is a democracy.
All right. Very good. Gordon Chang, as always, great to have you on the program. Always interested in your insights. And again, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Tony.
Gordon Chang, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, coming up next, this story should come as no surprise. The Boy Scouts, according to the Wall Street Journal, are considering filing bankruptcy. Robert Swartzwalder, Regent University, is here next when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, as we approach the end of the year, we've got a challenge match out there. And if you would like to be a part of it, all you have to do is give us a call. We've got folks standing by to take your call right now. Everything you give will be doubled. 10 becomes 20, 20, 40, 50, 100. You get it. 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. Okay, the Boy Scouts of America are reportedly, according to the Wall Street Journal, considering filing for bankruptcy protection amid dwindling membership numbers and costly sex abuse allegations. Now, the organization, founded in 1910, is currently facing a number of lawsuits alleging inappropriate conduct by employees or volunteers and incidents dating all the way back to the 1960s. Joining us now is Rob Swartzwalder, as with Regent University, senior lecturer and director of the Center for Christian Thought and Action. He's also former executive vice president here at the Family Research Council. Rob, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Great to talk with you.
Well, Rob, I know this is an issue that you have been involved in because FRC, when you were here, as one who you personally involved in scouting, we led out on this effort to try to preserve the Scouts. Are you surprised at all that this news that the Boy Scouts now may be seeking protection in bankruptcy?
Well, Tony, first, a lot of our efforts were due to your leadership, and I give you credit for that. I want to thank you for that. I'm not surprised because, as we said at the time, it would be inevitable that an organization that compromised a very basic sense of masculinity and its original purpose of teaching boys to be men, if they incorporated homosexuality openly, if they allowed other things in, that would have a detrimental effect because fathers want their sons to be in a strong masculine environment, and many women who are not are raising their sons in single parent homes want their sons to be exposed to a masculine environment. When you compromise that, it should be no surprise that people are going to vote with their feet, which they have done. Scouting in 2014 had 2.6 million members. It's now down to 1.8 million 2020, the Mormons are leaving scouting, it'll lose another 280,000. That's roughly a 45% loss in the space of 6 years. No organization can continue like that.
Well, Rob, when you look at the mission, I mean, this is an iconic institution, over 100 years old, and it is long stuck to its motto, its mission of helping boys make that transition from boyhood to manhood, and so much so that they were able to not only survive but thrive all the way up to the Supreme Court in fighting for that right. But then when they compromised those core values, I mean, what's left? And I ask that question, Rob, more from a case study standpoint of, yes, we're talking about the Boy Scouts, but I think this is true of any entity that that through compromise abandons its core values in order to accommodate a worldview that's inconsistent with what they hold to believe.
Tony, you said it just now so well. You look at many of America's great colleges and universities that were founded as Christian institutions, even as theological training or seminary institutions, and now are friendly to virtually everything but Christianity. And it's the same with Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts was founded by a British general named Baden Powell, who was also an English lord. He founded the Boy Scouts because in his experience with the British military, young men were entering it because they were not prepared to lead or to have the skills necessary as soldiers. And so he thought an organization that really teaches not just some basic outdoor skills, but teaches boys how to behave like men with courage and integrity and honor. And that was the institution. As recently as the year 2000, the Supreme Court affirmed that Boy Scouts have the right as a private organization to define membership terms, and that included not allowing open homosexuals to participate either as scouts or as scout leaders. So the Supreme Court affirmed that, and then the scouts started to run scared, which is ironic because courage is one of the basic scouting values. As you said, ultimately these terms become kind of meaningless. Because if you say, well, we stand for honor and for courage, and yet then you compromise basic moral conviction on which the organization was founded, and you run scared, then that sends a very conflicted message to the parents and to the boys who want to participate. Now, as you know, earlier this year, Scouting even took Boy Scouts out of their public name. Now they're just calling themselves Scouting USA and allowing girls into Scouts. So in a sense, you know, there was a headline in the Washington Post about a week ago, actually it was December 8th. This is the headline: Scouts Recruitment War Raises Questions About What It Means to Be a Girl or a Boy. Because now they're allowing children who are struggling with sexual identity issues, transgenderism, into Scouts. If that's the case, then essentially you're denying the very nature of gender. Why just call it Child Scouts, I guess, because it no longer is Boy Scouts or even Girl Scouts.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here or disturbing, and again, a case study, is that in this attempt to be what they call, quote-unquote, inclusive, where they opened up to different sexual orientations because they wanted more members, and then they said, well, let's open it up to girls so we can grow our ranks, in effect, as you just pointed out, the ranks of scouting are dwindling. So when you try to become everything, you become nothing.
It's well said. And that's exactly what scouting has done. And, you know, the next thing I think that will go, scouting has always said that there is a duty to God in the scout oath. I'm sure that that will be the next thing to fall because as recently as this spring, a group of atheists sued the scouts to try to get them to take out the reference to God, and I'm sure eventually, given scouts' recent pattern, they'll cave in on that too. So really, it invites questions. What's the point? Yeah. Thankfully, there is a great Christian alternative, which is Trail Life USA, now has troops in all 50 states. More than 25,000 boys are participating. It's explicitly Christian, and it's designed to teach all of the outdoor and leadership skills that scouting did, but with an uncompromising Christian character. So that's an alternative people can look to.
And it's a good setup, Rob, because coming up next, Mark Hancock, CEO of Trail Life USA, is going to join me. Rob, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. You too.
All right, folks, don't go away. Trail Life USA is next.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. Again, folks standing by, if you would like to take advantage of the challenge match that is currently out there for the Family Research Council between now and the end of the year, everything you give will be doubled. Give us a call. Operator standing by, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. Okay, as we were just talking about the Boy Scouts, while they're in a downward spiral, and I didn't get a chance to get into this with Rob Swartzwalder, but you know, Rex Tillerson was the chairman of that. He was the Secretary of State who the president fired. You know, I actually warned the administration about him because of what he did to the Boy Scouts, and I think the seeds that he sowed as the chairman of the Boy Scouts by opening it up to homosexuality and everything else are coming to fruition. But fortunately, there were those that saw this coming and began to work to create an alternative organization, which is actually thriving now. In fact, growing so rapidly, more and more people want to get in. It's hard to keep up with the growth. Trail Life USA. Joining us now is Mark Hancock. He's the CEO of Trail Life USA. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you having me on.
We just had Rob Swartzwalder, who was used to be at the Family Research Council and was instrumental in setting up Trail Life USA, giving us some of the statistics. But give us you know, a sense of the growth that Trail Life USA is currently experiencing.
Well, we're seeing a lot of response. I think that the boy-focused, Christ-centered piece that we bring to the outdoor world is really resonating with parents. And we had a 35% increase in new members over last year during our Join the Trail event. And then our overall growth over last year is almost 18% over last year. In the last 90 days, we started 90 troops across the country. We now have over 800 troops in churches across the country, 49 states.
So Mark, give us a sense of the mission of Trail Life and how young boys coming into Trail Life, kind of what they will experience and again, the kind of the mission and the purpose of Trail Life?
Well, our mission is to raise generations of courageous young men that honor God, that lead with integrity, that serve others, and experience outdoor adventure. And the key to the thing is that we're not some sort of outdoor adventure organization having a Christian experience. We are, at our core, a Christian ministry that uses the outdoors to draw young men closer to Christ. So we're unapologetically Christian. We're unapologetically boy-focused. We're not confused about what makes a boy and what makes a girl. We're certain about those things, and we think that boys and girls are different, which I know is politically incorrect to say. And we cater to that boy in an environment that challenges him, that provides him with the risk and competition that he needs to grow and to learn and the godly leader that we need him to be.
And as you said, many, many churches across the country are the home to the troops with Trail Life USA.
Yeah, they are. And when you talk about us in the context of Boy Scouts of America, that's a major difference. I just had lunch with a gentleman who is a pastor of a church and had a Boy Scout troop there for years. And he asked me about the difference. And I said, well, the difference is really clear. He said, you have a Boy Scout troop that meets in your church. We consider our troop an outreach of the church. We consider ourselves partners with the local church. We're helping to grow those local churches. In fact, you can have a bully who invites a friend to church or Sunday school every week. You may or may not get him to come. But if you invite him on a camping trip or to go hiking or to go zip lining or whitewater rafting, he's got that boy, and the unchurched boy joins that troop, and then the unchurched family joins that church. And we see that happening over and over again. We're at Trail Life USA because of our Christ-centered, unapologetically Christian focus. We're growing the local church, and we consider ourselves partners with that local church. That's a big difference.
It is a big difference, because this is a ministry opportunity for the churches to A, meet a need of the children, the boys in their church, but also as an outreach opportunity with an entity that is not hostile to the faith of the church or the beliefs of the church, but actually is in partnership with. So that's a huge difference, and I cannot underscore the importance of the outreach opportunity given, especially, Mark, and I know you see this in so many areas, especially inner cities, where we have fatherless children who need that male mentorship.
No, you're exactly right. You know, I think of boys as the canaries in the mine of this kind of cultural experience that we're going through right now with this gender confusion. Boys are feeling it first. You know, they're twice as likely to be in special education, three times more likely to be diagnosed ADHD. They've fallen behind girls in every single category academically, and basically they're getting ignored in this discussion that the adults are having about what makes a boy and what makes a girl. And we've forgotten that they need a certain type of focus. It's not a one-size-fit-all program for boys and girls. Boys need something special just like girls do. And so I'm encouraged that we have a lot of single moms who say, listen, I've cried out to God for somebody to help me raise my son. And Trail Life USA came along and surrounded him with godly men who can help him grow up to be a godly man.
Well, we want to encourage churches to take a good look at partnering with Trail Life USA. Mark Hancock, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you for what you're doing at FRC.
Thank you so much. Hey, and let me encourage you folks, if your church would be a great place to have a troop for the Trail Life USA. You can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. It's pretty easy to set up. Just need a couple committed parents that are willing to lead in the effort. Again, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up next, our good friend Todd Starnes with Fox News joins us. Don't go away.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again.
Welcome back to Washington Watch and Merry Christmas. The website, TonyPerkins.com. So glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon. Again, let me give you one more reminder that as we approach the end of the year, we are blessed to have some generous donors that have put forth a challenge match. You know, like most organizations, the end of the year is when we gather a large portion of the resources we operate with throughout the year. And so right now, actually between now and the end of the year, everything you give will be doubled by these generous donors. So if you would like to make a contribution to make sure that Washington Watch continues, we receive no government money. It's all – everything we do is funded by folks like you across America who care deeply about faith, family, and freedom. So we have folks standing by to take your phone call right now, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. 800-225-4008. They're waiting to talk with you. All right. When he was running for president and as president, Donald Trump promised to dispense with the politically correct happy holidays and bring back the words Merry Christmas. Said it would be safe to say Merry Christmas in America again. Well, and he's done that. But yes, Virginia, there still is a war on Christmas. One example, a Louisiana school district back in my home state will not allow grade schoolers to attend a Christmas play that mentions Jesus during school hours because it might violate a federal court order banning the district from promoting religion at school. Our next guest wrote about it along with a number of other stories during this season in which the battle lines have been clearly drawn. With us now is Todd Starnes, Fox News commentator and host of the Todd Starnes Show, and now also on Fox Nation. He has his own show there as well. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you up there in New York City. Let's talk about this war on Christmas. It's still real, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I suspect it's going to get worse. And I know what the president said, and he's done a terrific job. And this really has nothing to do with the president at all. This really has to do with our public education system. And the problem is we're getting a lot of teachers coming through the public universities and the public colleges, and they're being taught to hate the reason for the season, and they're also being taught that to be inclusive of other religions, they're going to have to exclude the Christian faith. And that's why I believe this is just part of a trend, and that's one of the reasons we've actually seen an uptick this particular year in these attacks on Christmas.
Yeah, it does seem to be that most of these are centered around schools. Now, not only do you have educators that appear to be hostile, but then you've got these not-so-friendly atheists who are always looking to play the role of the Grinch and send these letters threatening to sue various entities that might put up a Christmas display.
Oh, this is true. I mean, nothing jingles and atheist bells like the presence of the baby Jesus in a nativity scene. And we have certainly seen plenty of those cases. By the way, one of the most egregious happened in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which, by the way, was originally set up as a religious camp facility years ago and then turned into Rehoboth Beach. So it has a long and storied Christian heritage there. And the local Catholic church set up the nativity scene right next to a bandstand, and the city ordered the church to pick up the nativity scene and take it somewhere else. They said that the baby Jesus was not allowed on public property.
Todd, are officials willing to stand and fight? Now, one thing that, you know, Donald Trump as president, this was something that flew beneath the radar of most reporters. Why is he saying it's going to be okay to say Merry Christmas? Of course, that connected with a lot of people who understood that their ability to even express their faith in something as simple as Merry Christmas was under assault in this country. The president has stood up to them. Do we see other elected officials that are taking their cues from the president and saying, you know what? No, we're going to fight for what we believe in.
Sort of. There's a town in Missouri, Ozark, Missouri, and they have a drive-through Christmas light display in one of the public parks. And for years, they've had a giant cross that's decorated in lights. And so the town was going to stand up to it was the Freedom from Religion Foundation. They complained about the lighted cross. And so the town originally took a stand, and they said, well, we're not going to do anything. And then the Freedom from Religion Foundation threatened to sue, so they literally unplugged the lights on the Christmas cross. And it's really unfortunate because in many of these cases, there are rights protected under the Constitution. A case in point is Elkhorn, Nebraska. That was the place where the principal literally banned anything to do with Christmas, including candy canes. Fortunately, some citizens there in Elkhorn, Nebraska, contacted our friends at Liberty Counsel, the law firm, and they got involved and were able to reverse that decision. So I think average citizens are standing up more so than elected officials.
Yeah, I like that. There was an elementary school in Michigan, I think you may have written about this one as well, where the superintendent refused to take down the three wise men, at least initially,
yes,
from the top of the school, saying, she doesn't see anything wrong with three Middle Eastern men looking for more knowledge.
You can't make this stuff up, Tony. You can't make it up. But it's true. In that particular instance, the school district told me, I think it was the Michigan Civil Rights or whatever, just a bunch of atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers, and told them to go take a flying flip in the,
a polar bear swim in
kind
Lake
of
Michigan.
Way, but, Well, exactly. By the way, you mentioned the situation in Louisiana, Webster Parish. The poor
right.
Junior Service League, a bunch of good-natured ladies, and they're putting on this Christmas production, Toy Story, and at the very end of the Toy Story presentation, they tell kids, hey, it's really not about the toys, it's about baby Jesus. And the school said, no, you can't go to see the play anymore. And they told the Junior Service League, ladies, you've got to change your play. And they said, we're not changing anything. And so those ladies took a stand.
There's been that part of Louisiana has been targeted very intensely by the atheist organizations. I know you've covered a number of those stories that go way beyond just the issue of Christmas.
And Tony, to your point, the bad guys there were really not the local schools. They're under a federal court order. I mean, this is really draconian, and we've got the story up at TonStearns.com, but they're under a federal court order. No one's allowed to do anything remotely religious or connected to religion, even third parties, which would include the sweet ladies at the Junior Service League. So, I mean, these are the kinds of attacks, and again, this is why the president is trying to fight back by putting constitutionalists on the lower courts. And this is why he says, you know what, I'm with you folks, and it is going to be okay to say Merry Christmas again.
You know, Todd, it's a really good point, because I think people need to understand how complicated this attack on religious freedom is, and how complicated or how comprehensive the pushback must be. And it begins, number one, with individuals out there, like many of whom you have written about, who are, you know what, they have courage, and they stand up and they exercise their religious freedom. And they say, and I've written about some of the young people, you've written about them, that are saying, you know what, no, I'm not going to be deprived of my First Amendment freedoms, nor am I going to hide my light under a basket. I'm going to stand up, I'm going to speak truth, I'm going to do it respectfully and love. But then there's the part about where we've got to have elected officials, we've got to have school board members, we've got to have teachers that stand with them, and then we've got to have judges on the courts that will recognize what the Constitution guarantees them. So this is a pretty comprehensive pushback that has to take place.
It really is, and that's why it's a fight that's going to last much longer than the Trump administration. So, and we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to stay very diligent and protect these long cherished traditions here in the United States.
So it's safe to say, Todd Starnes, that I know you've been accused of kind of making up this war on Christmas, that it's all imaginary. It's safe to say that it is, in fact, a real battle.
Not only that, we document it just about every single day, you know, on our website and on our radio show and now the television show at Starnes Country.
You're listening to Washington Watch. My guest, Todd Starnes from Fox News. I want to ask you about that, Todd. How's the television program going?
You know, it's amazing what a team of professional hairstylists and makeup artists can do to a human being, Tony. Because, you know, I'm a radio guy, and there's a reason for that. But it's been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to, you know, we've had you on the show. We've had Franklin Graham on the show. So we're really opening up a big platform to talk about the big issues of the day and have a good time doing it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that after the first of the year, I'm actually able to get up to New York and be on set with you there in the Big Apple and do the Todd Starnes Show. Now, and I haven't seen the set because I was doing it remotely, but do you have rocking chairs on the set and sweet tea as refreshments?
They wouldn't let me, Tony. And I said, well, it can't be Starnes Country if you don't do that. But, you know, it is what it is.
So you've got those New York recliners?
No. I still had the rocking chair, though. The Cracker Barrel rocking chair is still in my office. So
okay. All right. I just want to make sure you don't lose touch with the South.
No. I'll never do that.
All right. Todd Starnes, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. And if I don't talk to you before, have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Tony. Thanks.
All right. Todd Starnes with Fox News. And as I mentioned, has his own program now on Fox Nation. You can check that out. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right. Almost out of time, but I want to just kind of share a couple of thoughts here, kind of bringing the whole program together as we were talking about what's happening in China and the crackdown there on Christians. There is a connection between how you and I stand up, and I don't mean that in a way that sounds rebellious. It's not. It's for you and I being unafraid to live out our faith. And this time of year is obviously one of the times of the year where our faith is at the forefront when we celebrate Christmas. Now, many would like us to put it in the background, so that, you know, it's just a, it's a, you know, it's a secular celebration. Santa Claus, Rudolph, snow, candy canes, and all that stuff has its place. But this is about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need not be afraid to say that. We need not be afraid to talk about that. In fact, I think this is a great opportunity, a great time of year to talk about that, i.e., that's what I'm doing right now. And as we do that, we, in a winsome way, we push back against the culture that's trying to push out faith, and in particular, Jesus Christ. You can talk about God. That's politically, correct to talk about God to some degree. But to talk about Jesus, that's when you start crossing the line. And so I think we need to talk about Jesus. And as you and I talk about it here in America, and we refuse to be silenced, we refuse to shrink back in the shadows of society as if something's wrong with us because we believe that there's a God who created us, and therefore, as we turn our lives over to Him and surrender to Him as our Lord, that we live for Him, that somehow we think that that's odd. No, we should not. That's what God has called us to. And as you and I live that out in this country, guess what? Those Christians in China, Pakistan, the other places in the world, Indonesia, you name it, Iraq, Syria, that are being persecuted for their faith can take hope because they'll have help. This administration that has advanced religious freedom in a remarkable way in a short period of time, given what had happened in the previous administration, is almost entirely the result of people like you who have made this a priority. This is why this administration is doing it. Yes, there are people in this administration that believe it, but it's become a priority because the people that have supported this president said it's a priority. And we need to live like it's a priority. We need to live our faith out here in America. We need to support those overseas and in places in which there is greater hostility. We need to encourage them, pray for them. Our churches need to adopt those countries, those individuals, those churches, and stand with them in prayer and even in finances, but mostly in prayer. As I travel and talk to Christian leaders in other parts of the world, in places where their faith is under attack, that's their number one prayer. Pray for us. Pray for us that we would not miss this opportunity that God has given us, because they're seeing hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ. There is something happening around the world. It's happening here. Let's pray that we not miss this opportunity, that we too would seize this moment that God has given us to stand firm in our faith and proclaim the hope and the life that is found only in Jesus Christ. And this is a great time of year to do it. Well, folks, Merry Christmas. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing."
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.